Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 4th of December 2022, Sunday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this new book, 84 Lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, Chapter 10, the Final Instruction. So this particular sharing was done by me on the 2nd of September 2018, which was about 4+ years ago. As usual, we will compose our mind, develop the faith, Saddha, Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo Bồ Tát Phật. Namo Bồ Tát Phật. Namo Bồ Tát Phật. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Thích Thượng Hoàng Bồ Tát. Namo Thích Thượng Hoàng Bồ Tát. Namo Thích Thượng Hoàng Bồ Tát. Namo Phật Bồ Tát. Namo Phật Bồ Tát. Namo Phật Bồ Tát. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Suppatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasanggo Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Anatipatavemanisikapadamsamadhiyami. Adinadanavemanisikapadamsamadhiyami. Kamesumichacharavemanisikapadamsamadhiyami. Veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamatatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu. 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 Okay, let us pay respect to Buddha. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. We will turn to page 6 on the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heavenly release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalisu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti beso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yatidam chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakkineyo, Anjali Karanayo, Anuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Then we shall continue our sharing from this new book. 84th lesson of the Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta, Chapter 10, the final instruction. So this particular transcript book is very important. Well, it summarizes everything that we need to know about the Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta. So in the Mahayana school, I think they call it the Liu Zhu Tanjing. So this Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta is a very unique sutta. It's not a sutta spoken by the Buddha, but they gave him the same recognition as a sutta spoken by a Sammasambuddha. That goes to show how profound this six patriarchs' teaching was. So, okay, we will go to the first. I think it's an introduction of content page. Okay, content page. We'll go through it quickly. There's a preface after we were read to. Then there's an acknowledgement of those who have helped make this possible. Then after that, we have our Dharma opening pre-puja sharing. Then after that, he concluded the puja. Then we start the Dhamma and Sutta sharing. Then there's the opening verse, the sutra proper. Then the sudden teaching of Master Huining. So this one, you have to pay attention. You understand what he's trying to teach and share with us. Cultivate all the way will actually progress and advance very fast in your cultivation. Okay, we go to the preface. Before that, there's a biography. I just read through. There are some who may not know my biography, especially those who joined us recently. So, bio data of me, Brad Teo. Brad Teo graduated from University of Malaya in civil engineering in 1979, because I entered the uni in the year 1975. Then I graduated, I remember, in February 79. And he has been a spiritual practitioner, calm meditator, since 1971. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experiences with those who are keen in their search for true happiness, mental peace, and liberation from birth and death, and free from all mental sufferings, so that they can be a blessing to all of humanity through becoming a more virtuous, nobler, and wiser living being or human being. He gives the Dhammato and hosts meditation classes and retreats and weekly Dhamma classes at various meditation centers, Buddhist societies, and places they invite him. For more detail of Brad Teo's Dhamma activity and his Kayamita Shift grouping, please log on to his Dhamma website at brad teo.com. Then you can also view some of his short video recordings at the link below, which is the link to the YouTube channel. You can go through it. And for this particular sharing, I think there is a short note taken by Sister Queenie, because just now I flicked through, I saw she was the one that did the short note, which was very good. So after that, we go on to the acknowledgement or preface. So under preface, I gave a rough explanation. Is Brother Teo's sincere wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators of the way will be able to make use of the enclosed Dhamma transcript notes to develop a better understanding of the Buddha's teaching as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes were mostly compiled based on a transcript from the recording of the 84th lesson of the Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta dated 2nd September 2018, the taxes align as closely as possible to the global speech in the talk. However, some editorial amendments have been made to the text without distracting from its essence. From the essence of the talk has been done. With this is hope that readers can actually adjust themselves to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to a recording first before reading the transcript. No. To listen to a recording, the audio file, you can download to our website, the previously mentioned website, rotio.com. Then you can also go to the repository of Dhamma material or Google Rotioskaya Mitta, a repository of Dhamma material to view them, or alternatively to download from the MP3 audio link below. So the links are there, so you can look at it. Then the short note link also is there. Okay, acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that this Dhamma transcript notes be given free to those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends and all Kayamitas who have donated and helped out in the transcription, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Adeline and her daughter Christy, who had taken the initiative to develop the draft transcript for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma transcript to be printed. By the power of all this merits and wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental suffering and physical suffering and dangers. And may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated and helped out one way or another to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations as soon as possible. The matter always by Bradio. Okay, we go to the Sutta sharing proper, pre-puja sharing. Greetings by Brother Teo. As I always start with the following, I say, a very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We are approaching the end of our series on Dhamma sharing and discussion on the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Today is Sunday, 2nd September 2018, and we will be sharing our 84th lesson of our Six Patriarch Platform Sutta class. I told you all last week, we still have 10 more pages to go, and I hope to finish off this sharing before the end of September, or maybe earlier. So let's see how it goes. Today the weather is extraordinary. Sister PG came to my house to fetch me and my wife. I wanted to share with you all this part, which was very strange and very unique. As explained by my wife earlier, it's a nature's phenomenon which is meant to be, and it will happen in this way so as to give you all faith. Yesterday evening, Sister PG asked me, Brad Teo, what time should I pick you up? I said 2:35, otherwise we will arrive too early. Luckily, she made the decision to come 5 minutes earlier, and she arrived exactly at 2:30. When she came in, she said, Brad Teo, better hurry or go fast. It's going to rain soon. I said, don't worry. And after we have put in all our things, and got into the car, Within less than a minute, the rain started pouring very heavily. When she came, oh, sorry, I finished this part. I said, don't worry. After we put everything, oh, no, I have gone through this one. When we were about to reach Wuping Jingse, which is the place I delivered my sharing, it was still pouring. So we thought the rain would not stop. But strangely, the moment we turned into the gate, the rain stopped. And it completely stopped. Then we came out of the car and I told my wife, see, your parami is very good. She said, no, it's nature's phenomenon. That's how, when people understand, they will know what to say. Then after we went into the Wuping Jingse Vihara, the rain started to fall again, very heavy. So nature has its own way of manifesting and unfolding according to condition. Like I shared last week in one of our weekly classes, such similar strange phenomena are quite common. For our Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday classes, including our spiritual trip, they are also happening the same way. Everything will unfold accordingly, and it was always so beautiful. It was like whatever that is meant to be will be. As long as you are on the right path, developing the right cultivation, and you trust your nature, your good blessing, and your good parami, things will go your way. In life, this is what you need to understand as a cultivator. When you cultivate the Buddha Dharma, no need to worry, no need to fear. Just live your life, act and do whatever you have to do or need to do with Dhamma understanding. If you are sincere and you have a good heart with wisdom and understanding, your form and mind will be beautiful and you will get to lead the beautiful life of a noble one. Then you will start to understand more and more of nature's wonders and your progress along the path of Dhamma will become very different. This is the part you all need to understand. There is a lot of joy in having such understanding. I don't know why. All these are happening today. Maybe they know it's our last lesson and something good will come about from today's sharing, Dhamma sharing. So we should all just rejoice. And really that day, because the sharing was very, very beautiful. Okay, we then continue. Okay, before I continue 3.2, maybe I would like to give you all a bit of sharing. Because a lot of cultivators, I realize, they lack faith, they lack understanding in the cultivation. Even those so-called Buddhists, or Buddhist practitioner or cultivators of the way, after a long period of cultivation, suddenly they have doubt or they come across some article. Then they have doubt. Then they don't know which one is true. So I think 2 days ago, I forgot whether yesterday or 2 days, I received one from one of the Buddhists, an old Kayamita, which I have known him for quite a long time, but because of condition, after I leave a Vipassana center sharing, which in China we organized, then I started off Champaka and our this like Tuesday class, Thursday class. So he seldom join us, but he is still close to me. Then he wrote this to me. So I read to you, then see how you understand it. So he sent me this article, Follower of the Buddha, 5th October 2013. Somebody, I think, sent to him, I think. He's written as follower. You listen. You will fall sick. You will experience pain and encounter many adverse circumstances in life. At such time, do not think this way. Although I am practicing the Dhamma, I have nothing but trouble. The Dhamma cannot be so great. I have followed a teacher and done so much practice, and yet hard times still before me. Such thoughts are wrong views. You should realize that through the blessings and power of the practice, by experiencing sickness and other difficulties now, you are purifying and ridding yourself of negative action. By purifying them while you have the chance, you will later go from bliss to bliss. So do not think, I don't deserve this illness, this obstacle, this negative influence. Experience your difficulties as blessing. When you do experience such difficulties, you should be very happy and avoid having adverse thought like, why are such terrible things happening to me? It seems it's written by, I think, a monk, don't know what Rinpoche, I can't see clearly. And he has this question, is it hybrid deal, sadhu. I seek your kind opinion on the above and hope you can give your frank view on the above. Thank you. So what happened was, I think he must have gone through life quite confused also, because he also did a lot of merits, wholesomeness, and according to his understanding, that is the practice that he has been doing, but his emphasis is more on merits and virtue. Means he do a lot of meritorious action. He did a lot of very generous donation, offerings, then even blood donation and all those things. And many of the wholesome things. But as far as cultivation and practice, I believe he is still not that clear. But nevertheless, as a Buddhist, he did very well in the field of Dana Parami, generosity, and also all the wholesome action and deed, especially generosity, donation. Then he also paid respects to monks and all things. Then he, of course, also supported many Buddhist institutions or temples. So what I did was, to make it simple, we was to reply in the WhatsApp. I can only simplify the thing. I said, according to Lord Buddha, he advises to contemplate the 5 daily contemplation, especially the 5th daily contemplation. That states, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So just do your duty by following the advice of the Buddha to take care of karma. We are avoiding all evil, the good, and purifying our mind, following Dhammapada verse 183. How to avoid all evil? We avoid all evil, we are keeping our precepts as advised by the Buddha. We undertake the training rule to abstain from all those precept breakings. Then do good means we cultivate noble eightfold path factor of right view leading to right thought. Then we manifest right speech and right action. Then we do the four right effort and we cultivate right living and right livelihood with mindfulness. Then purifying the mind via right sati and samadhi. If you do this, you will have the good life. So all this then I share a bit more. Is it you do the above, everything will turn around and you will be beautiful. That is real cultivation, following the advice of all Buddhas. So this is a simplified way of explaining. Then he was full of joy. Then he sent me this one. He said, thank you, Bratio. He said, sadhu, 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 for your kind advice. With my head and lips at your feet, then I rejoice. Then he also shared this. Kindness doesn't cost a thing, yet it is the richest gift you can give. So all these are quite relevant, beautiful sharing. But what I want to add is, you see, when it comes to cultivation, we must understand every one of us is different. No two person is the same. We have our different paths, our karmic nature, our evolution of consciousness. Then when it comes to cultivation or what, everyone is different. That's why you take the wrong path. You don't have the, what they call, appropriate guiren, or we call right dhamma friends, or parameters, to actually walk the path together. If we do not make the aspiration as advised by the Buddha, to evoke our merits for causes and conditions to avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise and enlightened Aryas, then cultivation can be very, very difficult, can be very messy, and you have to go through a lot of, in Mandarin they call yin wang lu. Yin wang lu is you cultivate, take the route that you are not supposed to take, that give rise to a lot of suffering, karmic negativity. Then it's like you encounter a lot of situation, a lot of problem, a lot of like obstruction, mainly karmic obstruction. And when they come and really hit you, test you, and a lot of people cannot understand. They give up. Then they start to blame. They say, I don't believe in the Buddha Dhamma anymore. But I did all the things, and yet I had this to go through. So they become very, very like unhappy, like they lost faith. Then they really become very confused. So, but we have to understand what is cultivation. Because if you meet the wrong people, the wrong teaching, the wrong guidance, what you do, you think is the correct thing. But right according to you, right according to what people tell you. And that is not the true teaching, the true Buddha Dhamma. When you have the causes and condition to encounter the real teaching, you must not miss it. That's why I say the window, you must make use of all the opportunity or condition that manifests. Means this golden window, you must not really allow it to slip away. Otherwise, you can be lost for eons and eons and eons. And you can never really understand why this is possible. Because Dhamma is there. When you go the wrong way, you become very, very negative. Then through that negativity, you react, you stir, and you cause more confusion. And you give up, and you simply do it. Your true heedlessness. But when you start to develop the condition to meet up with proper Dhamma friends who have the understanding of the Dhamma, or they take you to somebody who has the understanding and the cultivation, if you have your path, if you have developed your cultivation according to the advice of the Buddha, like what I mentioned just now, because avoiding all evil, doing good, is not just superficial. Of course, the third one, purifying the mind, is even more difficult. But if you have met the correct one and developed the right attitude and parami, and what I always share, you have faith, then be sincere, then just cultivate, persevere, then investigate into the Dhamma. Then check the teaching, especially the salutation to the Buddha Dhamma, the Sangha, or the essential Dhamma. Check them, understand them, then cultivate accordingly, like avoiding all evil. Keeping precept is not just superficial. Yeah, I keep my precept. But if you are not mindful, unaware, heedless, you broke your precept throughout the day without you knowing. You only look at the very gross thing, because you believe killing is harming and killing, the action and all things. But the intention, the negative desire, craving, cunningness, all this very fine mind state that can condition you into negativity, you never see it. The craving, the desire, the attachment, the clinging, the grasping, the intense greed. That what they call negative tendency. Especially what they call that tendency to deceive, to cheat, to take advantage, they are always lingering behind. Because before you become enlightened, sakyadity, self-delusion is always there. Because of that self-delusion, we believe we exist. The personality is there, the ego is there. So because of the egoic mind, the personality, it will condition you to want things your way, craving, desire. And this is greed. It's not only greedy for things. You become possessive. It's another type of greed. You become like aggressive. It's another type of greed. Then you become cunning, mischievous. Then you develop authoritative type of personality. All these are very severe evils of greed. Then when things don't go your way, you become angry, emotional. Then through delusion, when you cannot understand what is going on, fear arise, worry arise, anxiety arise, insecurity arise, phobia arise. All this you cling and deposit into your memory. You cannot see. Because without mindfulness, without the essential Dhamma, you cannot see all this. So you say you cultivate, you keep your precept, you do merits. But if you don't have mindfulness, you cannot. That's why the Buddha's final advice is strive on with heedfulness. Then Dhammapada verse 21 onward. The verses on Appamada, heedfulness. The opening verse, verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if they. The first thing you must wake up to is you must be heedful, otherwise you are as if dead. And how is it like to be heedful? It is verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme bliss of Nibbana, enlightenment in the here and now. So, if you are steadfast in cultivating the stability of mindfulness, then you are ever mindful and constantly meditating. Combine these two, you become heedful. So, if you don't have this heedfulness, you cannot start your cultivation. Technically, you can't. Although there is another format of cultivation, the three phases of Dhamma, which the Buddha teaches, which is also very good. He said the first is Pariyatti, means the learning of the teaching. And that one, you can study, you can listen, you can then maybe do things that allow you to develop better understanding of the teachings. So, Pariyatti is the initial training, the learning of the teaching. Then, Patipatti is the second phase, where you put this teaching you have learned into practice. And this is very important. Yeah. Then after that, the third one is Pativeda. Yeah. After you have put into practice and you have realized the enlightenment or the awakening, then you get to reap the fruit of your sincere hard work. And you get to live the life of an Arya or enlightened. And this is most beautiful in life, the highest that a cultivator can realize. Yeah. Because without the third phase of Dhamma, life has got no meaning. Most of the time, you are deluded, you suffer, you become afflicted. So cultivation depends on this type of understanding. When you have this type of understanding, you won't go wrong. When you cultivate mindfulness, heedfulness, leading to heedfulness, means train your mind to be aware, mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then throughout the day, the daily mindfulness must be there, the stability of it. You must be heedful in the midst of life, otherwise you cannot do it. So all this understanding are very important. So with this understanding, you will never go wrong. Your life will transform for the better. You look at all the kayamitas who have developed the understanding. Their life changed, improved tremendously. They become so different. They can come to terms with life reality at any time. No matter what happened, they understand. So this is the part I want to share. Okay, we continue. Okay, now we go to the puja 3.2. The usual puja chanting of the Mahayana tradition salutation followed by the Theravada tradition's salutation was done. And the taking of the three refuges, the renewal of the five precepts. So all this, we every Dhamma session we will do. The reason why I want to introduce this is because I want to merge the Mahayana tradition with the Theravada tradition. Because when I was sharing this Mahayana Sutta, I was requested by Sister Lee, share this Mahayana Sutta, started with the Heart Sutta. And the Vihara at her place, Wu Ping Jingse. So it was a traditional Mahayana Vihara, which is very nicely built, very beautiful, on quite a nice plot of bungalow land. And they have this Dharma hall, they have a kitchen, and they also have the dining area and outside space. So my nature is different because I'm English educated. Actually, I not Mandarin educated. So when I went to my temple, I actually know only a little bit of Mandarin. I can understand basic Mandarin, but not the deeper one. So the words and all those things, sometimes I need to ask my wife or people who knows Mandarin. But I, through hearing, when I know the meaning of the word, I will understand the teaching. That's why Maya Sutta, very strange, it comes to me. And I understand very fast. You just go in on it. Then sometimes they have this English translation. I was fortunate because my refuge teacher, Master Xuanhua, he did the translation for a lot of sutta, and I benefited from his translation because this time I came to help the English educator. So when I read his one, most of it are very good and in line with the teaching. But the moment I read, I understand or not. The moment I read, I understand or not. Very strange, even Surangama Sutta and all the other sutta. Then when she asked me, Sister Lee asked me to do the sharing there, I said, I'm an English educator, no. I can only speak in English and share in English. I cannot share in Mandarin, please. He said, no, no problem. No problem. So somehow all those things were clear. Then I went. Then I saw Vihara, Mahayana set up all those things. Then I want to integrate the two. That's why I combine the Mahayana salutation like I always do. I start with the recitation in Mandarin, Namo Bun Si Si Jie Mo Ni Fo, then followed by salutation to Amitabha Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the great beings of the Mahayana tradition. Then after that, I will chant the salutation to the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha following the Theravada tradition. Then I will chant the three refuges, followed by the five precepts. Then normally I will end there unless there is physical puja offerings. So this is to tie the two traditions together. As I always explain, if you understand Theravada, truly understand, Mahayana no different, no problem. You can also understand. But the teaching is the same. It is how deep you understand the true teaching. But the true teaching of the Theravada tradition is enough to comprehend the Mahayana tradition. The only thing lacking in the Theravada tradition is over the years, a lot of the true teaching has already been like distorted or adulterated or what, because over the years when it passed down, the essence was not there. And you know, it's initially through chanting, they got no writing. Then later only there is writing. And the problem with writing is you need commentaries, you need translators to translate the teachings and other things. So all this can bring about distortion or where a lot of important teachings cannot be passed down because of the way it's been shared. But Theravada tradition has its benefits and advantage because of the constant chanting. The chanting book, the Pali version, they have a lot of the teachings still there. But interpretation of it, the explanation of it, the ability of cultivator to explain it and put it in clear for cultivator or the way to penetrate, that one is missing. That one is missing. That's why over the years, sad to say, the Theravada tradition has become the teaching has become so different. It end up into method, techniques, and teacher. The emphasis is all different. They are more interested in the method, the technique, the object of meditation, and which teacher you follow. Whereas the essential Dhamma, where the Buddha teach, the Dhammapada verses and all those things, that one, very few people can explain the true teaching behind all this. And because of that, they find it very difficult to accept Mahayana, where to them it's like an alien teaching, not related at all. But what I did was, when I shared this Mahayana teaching, I used the Theravada explanation, which matches. That's why a lot of Kayamita find it very interesting. And it's not difficult. But the two does not deviate. Truth is truth. You can use the Theravada tradition's essential Dhamma to explain the Mahayana teaching, like the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then you will know it doesn't deviate. Even the Four Noble Truths, the Three Teachings, they are all there. Except people have forgotten its essence and don't know how to share and express them. In fact, the three types of wisdom that was mentioned, shared by me, we have Sutta-maya Panya, Chinta-maya Panya, and Bhavana-maya. They are in the Theravada tradition's teaching too. But people didn't see the link to the first turning, second turning, and the third turning of the Four Noble Truths in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. And how all these three types of wisdom come from the three turning. That one is missing. And the explanation of the three turning also missing. Yeah. Or not independent. Then the other one is like really, the understanding of what sati is very, very shallow in the Theravada tradition. It's not much explained. They use a lot of words, even the word sankhara, the five aggregates and all those things. So it's not easy. Unless you have the condition or opportunity to encounter a true cultivator who have gone through and developed the understanding or awakening, it is not easy to find teachers. So based on that, hopefully, you all can have the joy to really thank your good karma for having the causes and conditions to actually meet up with true cultivators of the way and find the true teachings. Like our opening verse of all the sutta, actually they are very rare. Okay, I will read on that. We go on. Okay, Dhamma and Sutra sharing by Brad Deal. Then I say, just relax your body and mind, maintain some form of mindfulness. The emphasis is always on mindfulness leading to heedfulness. And then we can start our sharing, our class. Then I say, let us turn to page 1 to recite the verse for opening a sutta. This one points towards the rareness of encountering the true Tathagatas teaching. Only the Mahayana Sutta understand this and have this opening verse, whereas Theravada seldom have this type of opening verse. But to them, they were initially taught mostly the sainthood way, or we call it the teachings that lead to enlightenment in the here and now, the four stages of sainthood. leading to arahantship. They were not taught the Bodhisattva way. That's why they don't know how rare this true teaching is. So now we read to the verse for opening the sutta. This is the format by Xianhua, which is very good. He said, the unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is the final teachings of the Buddha. It's difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of eons. I now hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow, see, you have to vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. This is the opening verse. So do not take things lightly. Make sure you don't miss all this. Now let us turn to page 419. There is the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, that thick book commentaries by Master Xianhua. We were at page 419, I think towards the end already. We have finished the commentaries, and now we shall move on to the sutta. So the sutta within the commentary is written this one. If in this life you listen, you encounter the Dhamma Dao, the sudden teaching. This is from Six Patriarch. Listen, if in this life you encounter the Dhamma Dao of the sudden teaching, you will be suddenly enlightened or awakened to your true nature or self nature. Then you will see the honored one of the world, means the Tathagata, the world honored one. If you wish to cultivate and aspire to Buddhahood, you won't know where the truth is to be sorted, unless you can see the truth within your own true mind. This truth is the cause of realizing Buddhahood. Then the next sentence is very important. Not to see yourself nature, but to seek the Buddha outside. This is where the thought based on go haywire, get lost. So this statement is very powerful. Not to see your true nature, your self nature, your original nature, but to seek the Buddha outside. So what happened is, if you think by going that way, you can find the Buddha or progress along the path of Dhamma, then you are deluded indeed. I now leave behind the Dhamma Dao or the sudden teachings. This is spoken by Six Patriarch, where he is about to pass away soon, Parinibbana. So I now leave behind the Dhamma Dao or the sudden teaching to liberate worldly people who must cultivate themselves. Take note of this, Nobody can make you enlightened. You have to cultivate yourself. You have to walk the path yourself. Yeah? To liberate worldly people means Buddhajanas who must cultivate themselves. I announce to you and to all the future students of the world, the way, see? Including your future student of the way. If you do not hold this view, you will only be wasting your time. You understand? That's why the sudden teaching is very powerful. And the sudden teaching is the teaching of Master Huining. Whereas the gradual teaching is sincere. You see, you cultivate, cultivate, cultivate. One day, gradually, you will become enlightened. For those who understand, there is no such thing. That's why Huining take you direct to the true mind. When you realize your true mind, you awaken. That is the sudden teaching. That's why that type of teaching is very different. Awareness based, not thought based. This one is coined by me. Because when you go to the thought, you don't have awareness. You can only be either aware or lost in thought. Man can only do one thing at a time. When you are completely still, silent, and just aware, there is no thought. But the moment you allow that mundane mind to arise and create all the delusion or heedless thinking, then you are lost in thought, preoccupied in that thought process. That's why you cannot free. You cannot develop it. So this understanding is very important. Then we move on to 3.3.3. The sudden teaching of Master Hui Ning. Then here I said, no wonder they rejoice. But this is the final message by Master Hui Ning. And this is very important. So let us go to paragraph by paragraph. That's why I repeat it that time. I want you all to understand this. You listen again. If in this life you encounter the Dhamma Dao or the sudden teaching, what is the meaning? What is the Dhamma Dao or the sudden teaching? Do you remember? There is a gradual teaching and there is a sudden teaching. What is a sudden teaching? Whose teaching is this sudden teaching? Then I asked at that time, you all cannot remember, we have gone through the thing for so long. We have gone through this teaching while in the middle of the sutra. What is this word? Sudden teaching. So the key word is sudden. So what is this word? Sudden. Okay, pass the mic to Sister PG. Yeah. So Sister PG answer. It is the teaching of Master Hui Ning, which can lead to a sudden awakening. Yeah, this is good. Then I say, yes, very good. Here, sudden teaching means sudden enlightenment or awakening. Yeah. That's why I used to share with you all that wisdom is such. If you have, means you have. I used to tell Yunja. Because wisdom is with our nature. When you touch that nature and realize that nature, you develop the understanding. Then the wisdom will allow you to have this sudden awakening. So wisdom is like that. If you have, means you have. If you don't have, means you don't have. You cannot learn to be wise. You can cultivate and awaken, yes. But you cannot through thought-based learning, through reasoning, through what they call analysis. To awaken. Cannot. Where these are all thought. Your instrument limits you. Yeah. Because wisdom is to be awakened to through the direct seeing, through the completely silent inner awareness. But that one has that ability to awaken, to insight into phenomena and trigger off the understanding. It's not to a thought process. It's not a knowledge within the brain, the memory. That's why it's in the nature. So this sudden teaching leads to sudden enlightenment. And it is always this way. Even the gradual school, they may call it the gradual teaching. They think it is gradual because they thought you need to cultivate over a period of time. But it is actually sudden at the time of enlightenment. They go and differentiate it. They say, Shen Xiu's teaching, the Da Si Xiong or the fifth patriarch, is supposed to inherit the sixth patriarchate. But instead, finally, it was Hui Ning who inherited it. So this sudden teaching is from the southern school where Hui Ning came from. because it's Huining's teaching. Then the second one is the gradual teaching of the Northern School, where Shen Xiu is, as taught by Shen Xiu. So this Northern School taught enlightenment as happening gradually, which I think a lot of Theravada tradition, you hear this very often. You cultivate, you do mindfulness, one day, you will become enlightened. They think you must cultivate, and as you cultivate, you gradually develop the understanding to become enlightened. Before you understand the teaching, which one do you think is more logical? You always think it's the second one, in the gradual teaching. Because everybody say you must practice, cultivate diligence. Then one day you will become enlightened. Then when they tell you this Mahayana Pure Land's teaching of the Southern School can suddenly make you enlightened and awaken, you surely don't believe, especially if you are a Theravada practitioner. And you will comment as follow: where can have such a thing? No need to meditate. No need to cultivate and practice the Four Noble Truths and Noble Eightfold Path. You just chant, then suddenly you can become enlightened. Well, these people cannot comprehend or understand. It has nothing to do with whether you chant or you don't chant. The Southern School of Huining, like what Sister PG explained, leads to sudden enlightenment or awakening. And this is possible where it takes you direct to the true mind, which is your self nature or true nature. That's why you can straight away awaken. That's why today's topic is very unique. And I actually don't know what is today's topic before I came, because I never prepare for my class. I never read ahead. I seldom go and read ahead whatever topic is next, unless there is condition, like before we start the class, if I have the time, I may look at it. But today, I was so busy replying to one of our classmates, WhatsApp group, I didn't read it up or read ahead or just flip through. Normally, Jinhao also will know, before I start the class, I will flip through, otherwise I won't flip through. Okay, I think we stop here. Yeah, we have to stop for meditation already. Okay, I'll mark this page here. Okay, we are at page 7. Oh, actually, you want a coincidence also. 1-8, you remember? We also changed government. Wu-Ling-Jiu, May the 9th. So that time, the government changed. Today, we share the transcript book. Again, government changed recently. So that 4 years was actually good timing. So every time we share this sutra, the government change. So next time we have to be careful when we are going to share this sutra. Okay. Anyway, we will have the 45 minutes of awareness based meditation. You can have your toilet break if you want to, 3 minutes of toilet break, then we will off the light so that you can have your awareness based meditation, 45 minutes. Okay, so just relax, maintain awareness, stabilize your awareness, then let the nature do the meditation. Just maintain awareness. relax away. Relax body and mind completely. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just away, away, away. Stabilize away until the thoughts slow down. Sankara activity all slow down. Until your nature becomes very quiet to realize your true mind. The stability of this awareness-based meditation is very important. Because it will take you to your silent mind, which is also your true mind. When you stabilize it and realize it, then you will know what that nature is. Then you will start to understand what the teaching is. How from that nature all things arise. How the mundane mind arises. Then you start to through the silent observation, see how you function as a human being. Understand clearly who are you, what are you, what is this my aggregate of form and mind, and how living beings become what they are. How avijja paccaya sankhara, how ignorant, conditioned, delusion. All this can be understood. How mindfulness can allow you to observe, see, insight, and awaken the phenomena. And this is awareness-based meditation leading to the awakening, leading to the understanding. That's why awareness is very important. Sati. When sati is stabilized, you become constantly meditative. Ever mindful. That is heedfulness. It has to stabilize not only in the form of meditation, it must be stabilized in the midst of life. Means in your daily life, during your waking moment. Yeah. In fact, sleeping moment also, you're fully aware. Yeah. Then when you are conscious, you're also fully aware. So if you can be fully aware, both during the unconscious and the conscious, then you are awake, you are not sleeping. Okay, so I will set the alarm, then you can continue your meditation. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. And we'll continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you want to ask, you can ask. You can ask me any question on the meditation, the teachings, and also how to apply this teaching to help us overcome whatever problem we have in life.
Yeah, Brother Teo, good afternoon. Good evening.
Good afternoon, yes.
Mr. Steele also, and to all Kayanamita.
Yeah.
I have what to share. You want me to share?
Can, it's okay. Or any question, or today's topic. Today's topic is very good.
Today's topic also, yeah.
On the sudden teaching, gradual teachings.
Okay, Radio, the in Theravada, there was a sutta. I don't remember the name. They really mentioned the learning of the teaching is gradual. It's like the beach of the sea, huh? Gradually the seabed was gradually how to say slant towards a deeper depth.
Yes.
Yeah. So they compare the simile in that way, the learning is gradual. Then at certain part of the seabed, I am not sure I am correct or not regarding that particular sutta. Then there's a sudden in depth, go sudden, the depth of the seabed is suddenly go
yeah,
very,
very,
very
abrupt,
deep.
Become very deep.
Yes, yes. So I don't know the teaching whether they teach this sudden abrupt depth or not lah. But
oh, Mahayana don't have those type of sutta. Even the Theravada, I didn't come across. Maybe
I will refer to that particular sutta and then I'll tell the number.
You forward
of the...
to me if there is, then we can look at it and discuss it. It's good.
Yeah. Later.
So
later
the learning of the sutta is gradual. That one is maybe correct. But they use the word enlightenment. So enlightenment, actually, there is no such thing as gradual enlightenment. You remember the Buddha? When he explained, he said, this Dhamma is akaliko. Of course, the other one is ehipasiko, opanaiko, and all those things that are not so important. But sanditiko and akaliko, this is very important. So once you know it is sanditiko and akaliko, means can be realized in the here and the now and beyond thought, beyond mind. So the moment you awaken means when you touch that nature, because the sinful way, even a glimpse of Nibbana is enough to awaken that being. So realizing that true mind, the true nature, is the realization of enlightenment in the here and now, means to realize that Dhamma, which is akaliko. So that part of that teaching is very clear. When it comes to enlightenment, it's immediate. It's no such thing as gradually. But our cultivation, we have been so conditioned because we already been told so many times that you just continue to develop the cultivation. Then one day you will awaken. But that one day they don't realize without wisdom, you cannot awaken on. To have the wisdom means you must realize that true mind, the silent mind, that nature, to realize the timeless akaliko. So that part, I hope that sutta, which I hope to see, then I can read through to find out more.
Yeah, then later I will try to find out the
sutta. Then you forward it to me and I will have a look at it. So the slope of the seabed, that one I think is good for learning. For learning is gradual. Yes, you need to stabilize the understanding. So that one take time. That one take time. I agree.
Yeah, like certain part of understanding, but you like I agree. I truly agree. It's a sudden understanding just come to us.
Yeah, it's sudden.
Not through thinking one. Yeah, not through.
Not through the thought process one. That nature just awaken or insight into or realize it. It's just that nature understand. That's why the wisdom is to be realized, not through I won't use the word contemplate, not through analysis or reasoning or the thought trying to think about it. But it cannot happen. The instrument limits the awakening. Then it is always the case of mindfulness, means aware. The mind is just aware that it awakens or it ceases because of wisdom. Then that glimpse of it transforms the individual. Initially, is of course the sinhood way, especially Sakayaditi. That glimpse itself, that being that go through, come out, straight away will understand there is no such thing as an atta inside that. Because that unconditioned nature will allow that form and mind who experience it to know that there is no being inside. And that nature is beyond thought, beyond mind. The unborn, everything. They will understand. And all this that arise is the creation born of the mundane mind, the thinking mind. And this one is dependent originating, condition arising. Whereas the other one, they call it the signless or the unconditioned. That one got nothing inside that one. The being who goes through that cessation, they will know one. They will understand immediately. That's why the enlightenment is always with the wisdom and is sudden. Then after that, the nature that has gone through, it already has the understanding one. Yeah. Then you don't need to remember. Whenever that being encounters a certain thing or situation, it is no longer deluded in that sense. It will not go back to the old way. He already know what that thing is already. That is not deluded anymore. Nothing can deceive it. Even the phenomenal world, the conditioned world, or whatever people say, that being cannot be affected anymore. Well, that sakayatiti is no more. And that one very, very powerful. That's why that first awakening is also very important. The Mahayana call it, you must realize the pu sen pu mie means no arising, no ceasing, means the unconditioned. You cannot talk about it because the mind just ceases. Even that moment is very penetrative, very powerful. Yeah. So those who have a glimpse of what that cessation is, that nature is, already enter the stream, means they have a glimpse of what Nibbana is. And this is what they call the transition from a Putujana to an Arya. Then they have a word for it. It's called what?
Gotrabu, I think.
Gotrabu, yeah. The insight, yeah. The insight knowledge, yeah. Gotrabu.
Change of lineage.
Yes, change in lineage. Yeah, the word is change in lineage. Very good. Yeah. It's straight away that being become different really. Because it's no longer the Putujana already. It changed in lineage. Yeah, Gotrabu. Yeah, the word is Gotrabu. Yeah, yeah. Very good. Sadhu.
Then one more thing is regarding the glimpse or whatever glimpse that they sudden awaken to, because it stands out to the Dhamma. That means it match with the Dhamma, so they automatically arise in the individual, and the individual understand by themselves, like Brother Teo always said,
yes.
So there is no doubt about it. One, they don't have any.
Correct. Very, very clear. No more doubt. One. That's why the first three factors all severe. One.
So later I'll try to check that particular sutta.
Good. If you can find the sutta,
can I definitely can find, because I have a record somewhere.
I would like to have a look at that sutta.
Then another sutta maybe I would like to share with our Varitio is this particular Bahiya Sutta. Regarding the ascetic who wear the three bucks. He wear three bucks. It is not a robe. So I am very, how to say, when I first encountered this sutta, I was very impressed and very very impressed and have a very big impact on me.
Oh, Sadhu, very good.
Maybe this sutta also I will share with Brother.
Can you forward to me? Yeah, I would like to read it also.
It's a
because
very
a
short
lot
one.
of Theravada sutta, if it's the authentic one, they are very good. They are very good.
I can remember it's very, very, very profound, like what Brother Teo said. Because in the sutta, they have four understanding lah. He said in the seeing there's only the seeing, in the hearing there's only the hearing, and
yes.
then in the sensing there's only the sensing,
correct.
Senses. And then in the cognition there's only the cognizing.
Yes.
Then the Buddha said when Bahiya, his name is Bahiya, you are not with it, and then you will not be in it. When you are not in it, you will be not in the here and not
and
in the
now,
hereafter.
Yes.
Not in the hereafter.
Yeah,
and not
hereafter,
in between.
Yeah.
And not in between.
This
three key scenario. Then he said, Bahiya, that itself is the cessation of dukkha.
Oh, Sadhu.
Very,
good.
Very profound. And then this Bahiya, after hearing this brief, he became awakened.
Yeah, Arahant. I remember this one. Because I remember it comes from this sutta. Because I remember this.
I will check the sutta and then pass to
Bahiya. No, this name Bahiya, I remember in the early day, I shared that sutta before. Because during the time of another, the Buddha before Sakyamuni Buddha, they got this seven monks or what? They went up to the, they were so determined, they went up to the hilltop, then they meditate and they throw away the ladder, which they are prepared to die on. Then one of them became an anagami. One of them became an arahana river. Then the anagami one, because they have a vow to look over each other, help each other. So I remember he was following them until Sakyamuni arrived. Then he actually guided them to see the Buddha. And they went and see the Buddha. And both also become arahant. I think one of them or both of them go by the cow after that.
Yes, exactly. The Bahiya was
by the cow
immediately after he awakened.
Yes,
this Bahiya was alerted by the friend in the heavenly being.
Anagami up there, yes.
Yeah, he said,
because
you are not enlightened yet.
He told him, you are not the real arahant.
Yeah, you must go and
he
see
said, there's
Buddha.
Buddha, the real one is... He asked him to go and see him.
Yes, this was the exact story in the sutta, something like that. But it was
very,
very beautiful.
Because that time when I read the commentary from the Burmese tradition, which I think our Vipassana center, the late uncle, what is his name again? Uncle Tan, is it Uncle Tan? He print a lot of this. He gave me the whole set. No? Every time he got the new book, he will give it to me. So that time I remember I saw that sutta. I was reading through. Then I remember this name, Bahiya. Yeah, Bahiya. Very good. But I don't have the detail of the sutta that talk about the six and all. Because his one is the English translation, the story only. I only read the story. But the actual sutta will be very interesting, yeah. Because I remember he was trying to see the Buddha. The Buddha was on Pindapati, and one of the disciples of the Buddha tell him to wait. He said, wait till the Buddha finishes round, then you come. He said, no, I must see him. And all of a sudden, then the Buddha, I think, overheard and checked, then knew that he must be given the understanding immediately where he is going to die soon. So immediately the Buddha agreed and talked to him just on the sixth sendok. And he became an arahant straight away. Yeah. Yeah, that sutta is very good. That's why that shows it's immediate. The moment you understand, you awaken. You awaken. There and then, that moment. Because in the past, they have been cultivating very seriously. All these seven monks that went up to the hilltop, they determined, no. So at that time, I think the Buddha before this was another name. I forgot the name. I don't know whether it's Kassapa Buddha or who, I forgot already. Then they determined. That's why they have this pledge and they went up there. Then all these things become possible. Very good. Yeah, I look forward to see the sutta. Then I can share it again.
Yes, yes, Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the time being, maybe I stop here and invite another sister.
Can share.
Maybe I invite Sister PG because I saw her name is online.
Yeah. PG. Yeah.
You share, Sister PG.
Can. PG, are you there?
Hi. Good afternoon, Ratio.
And
all kilometers. Thank you, Sister Ingby, for nominating me. Today's today's subject actually is very interesting, Ratio.
Yeah.
It's something that we as a Buddhist practitioner, we are always encountered with a lot of suttas and teachings from both the monks and a lot of books.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If we do not have the right understanding, it is actually quite easy to not only do we get the wrong understanding, we can go astray, right?
Yeah, yeah, go astray.
Astray very easily. And a lot of times I do also read commentaries from and Q&As from other teachers lah. No need to mention names and all this.
Yeah.
And we can see that the level of understanding may not be as deep as what we have been taught by Brazil.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is actually very not only thought based, but a lot of it is, like you say, a lot of times is very with not much real understanding. Right?
Yeah, they use the word superficial dhamma.
I would not actually like to use the word that they are not awakened, because a lot of times these people have been very long in their cultivation, and they would have their own understanding, but
I feel
that they do not have the real insight, virtue. And
yeah, the penetrative one.
Yes, the penetrative insight. And it's like their replies and comments can satisfy a lot of people's questions. But for me, I accept it but I tell myself I have to go further than what has been replied by them, you know, Rajil. And for that, I am very thankful, Rajil. Very thankful that even in my even in my little cultivation, Rajil, at least I can understand a bit better, Rajil.
Yeah. That's why difference. Because once you have gone through the clear understanding, then you can see very clearly. a lot of other sharing or even books that they print, when you read through, you will know a lot of things contradict itself already, not what you have developed as understanding already. But initially, surprisingly, like most people encounter, because they see the Dhamma words, like, wow, all these books are so beautiful, there's Dhamma everywhere. But when you have clarity and understanding, then you start to read differently. Then you realize, actually, a lot of these, they themselves, inside the same book, they contradict themselves with the explanation that they give or the commentaries that they give. So all this become like prominent when you have developed the actual cultivation and some form of clear understanding. Then you read a lot of this book, you realize it's no longer what it used to be. I remember in the early days, a lot of people tell me, oh, Pratyu, this book very good, this book very good. Oh, they got a lot of Dhamma. I read, yeah, a lot of Dhamma words, a lot of Dhamma logical explanation. But this is not sufficient for penetrative understanding. This is not sufficient for cultivation. Because to cultivate, you need to get it, they call it spot on. Otherwise, you can't. Because to cultivate, you must have clear understanding. And that clear understanding can only come about from a person or a being that has gone through the realization, the cessation. Then some, they themselves understand, but the stability or wisdom not there yet, but they cannot have the ability to express it to you in simple words and share with you. But they themselves understand. There are quite a lot like that one too. Those who have gone through, then they use very simple words. They cannot like express it in a very beautiful sharing or exchange, but you know they have developed the understanding and the realization. So there are quite a number of people with that type of understanding. So as you go deeper and deeper into the cultivation, then you start to understand the process, the stability of it, then the various type of possible beings that has gone through the cultivation, and they are all very different. Well, some, they specialize in different fields. They specialize in different approach to the Dhamma. Then like the Buddha always share, you can approach the Dhamma from any direction. So the Mahayana use the word 84,000 Dhamma doors. Actually, this implies you can approach it from any direction, because initially to go into the cultivation, what you need is heedfulness. From heedfulness, you can go into the cultivation using various approach. Some, they only develop the ability to chant. Then the spiritual faculty come. Then they make use of the strongest spiritual faculty that can enable them to awaken. They will just awaken and they will penetrate. And during the Buddha's time was the same. There are a lot of his students, the monks, where different object of meditation were given, different approach was given, different teaching were given, then they all awaken, even though the approach can be different, because it depends on their past, their karmic past, their attitude towards life and what they are like develop as interest in life. Like there is one monk who can't even like remember a stanza. Every time the stanza spoken, he cannot remember. Then Sariputta was trying to motivate him by asking him to develop the marana nusati contemplation of that. But that type of object of meditation doesn't interest him at all. So he couldn't develop the progress. Then later on, Sakyamuni Buddha came to know. Then he checked. He realized this particular monk in the past, he has been a goldsmith's son for 500 overnight, and he liked gold. That's why he gave him the golden Buddha image to meditate as an object of meditation. Oh, then he progressed. Then at the moment when he was very excited, very calm and very aware of that object of meditation, the Buddha knew and used his ability or psychic ability to cause that Buddha image or the object of meditation to actually dissolve. And through that, that monk became an arahant straight away. Because that Buddha, which is made of gold, also can dissolve. Then what else in the world that can never be dissolved? Then he understood straight away the Patijasamupanna, and straight away he awakened. And all this become possible. Then there's another one. He gave him a white cloth. Then he asked him to go and wash it or clean it out. He realized the more he washed, the dirtier he became. Then through that, suddenly he realized that is what his thought process is all about. The more he think, the more confused and more disorder the thought become, and more heedlessness. Then suddenly he realized that white cloth that the Buddha gave him originally was already pure, clean. If you don't go and do anything to it, it is already that quality, the purity, everything. But the more you go and do, the more you go and like entangle it, the dirtier it becomes. Means defilement start with the delusion to go and do all those movements. So this is how the Buddha, through his perfection and ability to understand all this, approached the individual and taught them differently. So there are a lot of examples, I think, in the Jataka story and also the Tipitaka record on how they encounter situation, then how the Buddha actually, through his wisdom, perfection, and understanding, advised them to develop the cultivation differently and overcome it. Some, he asked the monk to go back there and radiate metta. Then after that, the non-human or does not disturb them, then they can settle down, then they can meditate and progress. Then there was one crew of monks, I remember, he came back, there was heavy rain. Then they couldn't went into the temple to see the Buddha. They actually have some question. But that heavy downfall triggered off the condition for them to be enlightened. Because I think that heavy downfall, the rain drops, the bubble, sorry, that hit the ground, dispersed. Immediately, a lot of the monks who saw that, well, they were ready. They just, within that moment, awakened. That's why it's immediate on the sudden enlightenment. But you need, of course, you can explain or argue in a way that you had to prepare yourself all this while so that you are ready for the condition to awaken. That one could be true. I do not deny. But as long as it does not lead to enlightenment, awakening, to me, it's still unawakened. You can be prepared for how long, but it's still unawakened. But the moment it awakens, it's always the sudden enlightenment. That's why Hui Nong Liu Zhu, the six patriarchy Liu. Enlightenment is always immediate, sudden, within the moment. Yeah. That split second, it just happened. Yeah. So all this very important understanding and very beautiful understanding. Yeah, PG, you continue. Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, but you, like you always teach us that we do what needs to be done.
Yes.
In our cultivation, whether it's meditation, it's learning of the suttas or learning of the teachings, we have to do our part. In when the time is right, when the conditions are right, there may arise the condition for this particular person to awaken. So, like you say, you have to prepare the grounds.
Yeah, we have to prepare the foundation or the what they call the causes and condition for us to receive truth. That one is very true, because different people are different. Some, because of past karmic thing and all those things, they got karmic obstruction, they need to clear. Especially karmic obstruction, you need to clear. Then once the karmic obstruction is clear, you realize everything becomes different. No? Oh. Then in the past, you have like helped people to meet up with great beings or enlightened beings. Then they develop the progress and they transform very fast. Because of your prami, that luck, you come, you will have people who will bring you to them also. Then because of the cause and effect, the thing that you have done in the past that lead to all this possibility, then you also have that possibility to awaken that manner equally fast. That's why I look back my own cultivation from the past. I realized this life also when I come, the way I share, the way I give is very penetrating. And for people who have the past or are ready, they understand very fast and they penetrate very fast, they awaken very fast. Then in the early years when I was developing the cultivation, I realized I received Dhamma, the truth, also very fast. I don't really need much word and real sharing or teaching from the enlightened beings or from people who has the truth. I only need to hear truth. The moment I hear truth, like winning, we will awaken to it one. Very funny, because that nature is like that. This is the way he gives. And when he comes, he also receives it equally fast. That's why that one I can confirm. I check back, I realize. Initially, like I told you all, after 1989, I thought most people like me, you know, what you need is just the penetrative understanding of the number. But when I started to share, I realized hardly anybody can follow. Hardly anyone. Then I had to revert back to basic, essential Dhamma, the basic teaching, and start the sharing in a different manner again. Then I had to slow down a lot of things. I had to prepare Kayamita, especially new people, with all the important essential Dhamma understanding, the basic Dhamma. From there, then we develop the understanding for cultivator or the way to move on. Otherwise, most people don't have that capacity to actually receive truth in the manner that my nature is. So that one, you all, as your progress, you all will also have the same understanding, because this type of cultivation, like I explained before, maybe this time you listen again. Because when you got it right, when you have developed the understanding, the progress keep on happening. you are on the rising trend of cultivation. Means you don't make mistake, really. You hardly make mistake, really. Then everything you do, your perfection, your cultivation, your especially after you take the Bodhisattva vow and you develop the stability or understanding, then you continue to progress or not. But initially, you like the snake and ladder game, I used to say. You're not stable yet. You reach very near, really, suddenly the long snake take you down all the way. Then you start all over again, the climb and all the thing.
Yeah, so where this one, I know that.
You know that. Oh, yeah, you've gone through. Yeah, you continue, Fiji. Yes.
Yeah, Maritio, you know, when you talk about the those coming obstruction, it is actually very clear to a lot of us calamitas, Maritio.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you cultivate, you know, a few of our calamitas, they are so diligent, Maritio.
Yeah. And that one, I agree.
And yet, they find it so hard to.
Yeah, because of coming obstruction. Yeah.
So sometimes it's quite ironic, you see. There are some like they always say, oh, you know, they just follow instruction and they just hit the jackpot, right?
Correct. They hit the nail on the head and they just
they just try the jackpot.
There is not much coming obstruction from the past. So they didn't go Holland first and come back.
Yeah, and you know that there are so other calamitous also is like they try their very best and then they were like say that they too eager to progress. Then sometimes that lead me to think like you see lah, it's like the board game, you know. You work this work this direction, you hit something. You work that direction, you kena snake.
Yeah. True.
The only thing I can see for myself is just cultivate. When the time is right.
Don't try to know. Don't try to know and don't try to do anything. Just persevere. Develop the faith. Diligently persevere. Cultivate.
You know, just the day I was listening, I was listening to your talk, the one at the retreat, first day.
Yeah, I sent it out. Yeah, that one very good. Yeah.
Just a simple thing, like I just got an example of what you were saying, Bradio.
Yeah.
You were talking about the six senses.
Yeah, six senses. Yeah.
The six senses. And a lot of times, like you say, we have to think.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you ask a question, we have to think of even for a lot of other things are not only the six senses. It is not the a lot of us is still knowledge. So even like the six senses, we do not see it, Bertil. So quick when something happens, especially when you see something. A lot of times it just triggers off. And it goes, and that have, as you have said, is the cause of dukkha itself.
But we
don't see it as that. Straight away, we think that, it is so normal to us, Bratio.
Correct.
We do not see that.
Because the mindfulness don't have that stability and sensitivity. That nature cannot have that sensitivity to experience and feel it, to see it. Because cultivation is about the cultivation within the moment, when it happened. It's not a theory where you analyze, you reflect, and you think, then you think you know. That one is still not the penetrative one. The penetrative one is when you listen, then you decide to find out, like the sixth sense. I always say, how you function as a human being. If you are completely silent, without the memory and the thought and the knowledge from memory coming in, you're completely silent, like you don't know anything, clean space. You find out, who am I? What am I? You find out. Yeah. That every moment of sense experience, you actually finding out through what? Through the pure awareness, the silent mind. It just, then you will know why Brother Teo say, at the moment of contact or the impringement of the sense data, let's say the hearing on the ear or the seeing the color shape from external object, contact with the eye as an organ, then the conscious mind also there, then a trigger of that seeing consciousness. Then how did the content go in and how did all the movement, the stirring, the reaction of, you have to silent, completely silent to develop the understanding there. Then you realize, like my wife said, it's not you. It's like a machine inside there, that's not just functioning like that. It's like nature's condition operating. Then like, there's nobody inside there. But because we are so conditioned, that knowledge, that sakayadity, the self-delusion, the ego, they keep on manifesting through habitual tendency. That's why we become like that. It is through this observation that enable us to understand, you all this while we have been doing all this? And that is what sakayadity is all about. Because basically when you completely silent and find out and check, hey, no you, hey, no me, nothing inside that. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, if you can be silent enough, there is only the seeing consciousness. Like in we just now quote the sutta. In the cognition, there is only the cognition consciousness. That's why everything is just the way it is. Feeling is just pure feeling. There is nobody to feel, nobody to see, nobody to hear, smell, taste, tactile feel and think. That's why I always ask you all to inquire, is there a thinker behind the thought? If you really silent your mind, you will know there is no thinker. Because that thought is respond to memory, trigger off. Then from that, you perceive. So who perceive? There is no being. Because perception is from memory. Understand? Without memory, you cannot recall. That's why thought is respond to memory. Perception is also from memory. Without memory, there is no such perfect perception. So all this understanding, when you really silent your mind through awareness and mindfulness, not through thinking to find out, then you become different. So how we function as a human being, how we interact with the world, how do we know the world? These are very beautiful inquiries. I remember I started from this. I assume I don't know anything. Then I find out. Then through that investigative understanding, where I have the mindfulness, then I realize no wonder people cannot see. Because they don't have the stability of mindfulness and awareness. They are not sensitive. Then the subtle craving, the desire, the grasping, the clinging, they cannot see. Because they don't have that clarity and stability of mindfulness and the sensitivity. Because they have not developed the daily mindfulness, the silent mind. So all this become near to impossible. I use the word near to impossible. It because you cannot do it on actually, unless you have it from your past and you have developed them. So all these are the important understanding. That's why hopefully with PG and all Kayamita starting to have all this. You listen to our retreat sharing this year around one, the recent one that we have on this week. But this, that retreat sharing, I go into the cultivation deeper and differently because I always explain to you in the past is all the important understanding first. Because that one need to go in first. Then now is how you develop the refinement of cultivation and practice, how you have to actually realize it through that awareness. When you are aware, all this cultivation become different. Means it's not a knowledge, it's not a thought telling you, or it's not just analyzing or trying to like use what they call the thought to reason, the sankara to reason. It's no more. It's just within that moment, within that silence, whatever happened, you just experience it. Then you understand what that thing is. Because unless you're completely silent and aware, the understanding cannot come. The awakening cannot come. So just continue to do. Like PG come to realize, don't try to know. Just continue to do. Persevere. Just do. It's like I explained to that Kayamita earlier. I say, follow the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil. Do good. Purify the mind. And just cultivate heedfulness, mindfulness. Stabilize it. Then continue to silence. To develop the awareness, to be aware, and to find out, to investigate. And then you will progress. You become very different. Okay, PG?
Yeah, Baratio, even that simple instruction that you have just spoken, it actually takes a lot of, cultivation understanding.
Yeah. And to effort. Develop that understanding, yeah. Take a while.
And to me, it still boils down to our awareness, Baratio. We must really, put in a lot of effort to develop.
Strive on with heedfulness to develop the ability to be heedful. That one is very important.
And not to be caught by the external. It is easy to be caught by the external and be carried away, especially that we can see, like now with the past elections, it's so easy to get drawn away. And like we always have heard that we are always looking on the outside, not
looking for the Buddha outside of your nature. That's why I cannot find. Yeah, that one is the mundane mind, the heedless thinking mind.
And for Bratio, it's so easy. Always look on the inside, but for a lot of us, we are always caught on the outside.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of effort to remind myself, especially.
Correct.
To calm down, to bring the mind to more silent. Also, Bertil, we have been looking a lot at the media, and then then I tell myself, why are you so involved? Not for you to, comment so much of what is happening. Just see this as happening, and that's it.
Yeah, everything is just the way it is. The consciousness will evolve and flow.
What I have to put in more effort is my own cultivation, not to be so bothered with what is. Of course, we must know what is happening in the world, but not to get so involved as to be drawn out all the time. Because otherwise, if I don't, not even aware of myself, you know, especially
You cannot contribute to the totality of consciousness, like the Krishnamurti say, the individual.
Not much use for me to talk.
The talking, the analysis, comment, no use on. Because the useful one is like what we do. The individual must change, we must cultivate, we must transform. Then we do the Dhamma sharing, then we invoke the power of marriage for the king to be righteous, which happened this time around, for the government to be just. So all these are very important. And then I remember the last retreat, we were going to strike on with heedfulness. Then I pointed out to one of the Kayamita, I said, strive on with heedfulness means you must have heedfulness, only you can strive on. Without heedfulness, how can you strive on? So a lot of people after that only realize it's actually the opposite. The word that the Buddha used is correct. Strive on with heedfulness. So before you have the heedfulness, you put in a lot of effort for what? You're wasting your time. That's why you have to strive on with heedfulness. Me, you determine to train. Then with the heedfulness, I always share, with the heedfulness, when you are ever mindful, constantly mindful, when you are heedful in the midst of life, that is just the beginning of real meditation. You remember that? Yeah. Not until you are constantly meditative, ever mindful, you have not started the real meditation. That's why the real meditation is after that, you strive on with heedfulness, you go all out. You never look back. Like what I did during 86. That year, for 2 to 3 years, I moved nonstop, strive on with heedfulness. I determined to be aware, to be mindful. Then I do my religious routine. Then everything just happened during those few years. Then the mindfulness stabilized within 2 weeks. That's how everything become possible. Then I able to silence, to connect back to my true nature. Then from there, I start to inherit from my spiritual nature. Then all this understanding stabilized. Then it come back to my nature. Then from there, I have the ability to teach, to share. That's why I decide to come out later when causes and conditions are appropriate and ready, which was the year 2000. Yun Chan came and see me. I remember that time. Yun Chan came and see me. Then I started, I think the year 2000, I think, about there, somewhere around there. Then later on, the second batch came, I think 2008, where I went to Subang, Suyan's house to teach. At that time, most of you all came after that. But Song, they all were the pioneer batch, After Yun Chan came and see me, then the whole thing unfold, the causes and conditions. Initially, after 89, I was ready, but there were no conditions. Hardly anybody can understand what I say. So I just stay at home. And once a while, I go to the temple to find out what has changed and what is happening to the Buddhist community and so-called Dharma practitioner. Oh, that's what happened. Then when Yun Chan came, it triggered off. That's why Kayamita grouping, the teaching, the sharing all become possible. It's because Yun Chan at that time started it. Good. Sadhu, yeah.
Yeah, we are very thankful to Sister Yun Chan.
Yeah.
And also,
without her, all like, this not possible.
Brother Suyan also for
Suyan also.
Yeah.
And all and those who help out actually.
Yeah.
In fact, every Kayamita is part of the what they call causes and collision for this evolution of that Kayamita grouping. Then it has developed so beautifully over the past. I think about coming to 20 years. I think about coming to 20 years. I think, yeah, if it's the year 2000, then coming to 20 years already, or 22 years already. Now it's 2020, or finishing already. Now December, so next year 2023. But our website are still new. I think Kayamita gathering, that one all still quite new. This year is what year I already? Is it 15 or 16?
Gathering.
The gathering of Kayamita. I also cannot remember already. But don't worry, yeah. It has already developed to such stability, and the website is very important. And the Kayavita Fund has actually developed a lot of good causes and conditions for our Kayamita to actually benefit and move. So all these are very beautiful happenings. So we should all rejoice.
Ratio, may all Kayamitas, receive the, the merits and the blessings from all the
definitely. Because the Kayamita Fund is set up for such purpose. So that all Kayamita will benefit. Yeah, whatever we do with the Kayamita Fund is for the benefits of the Kayamita. So this is something that originally, before I decided to come out, I already knew how all this should be done. That's why I don't want to form society at all. No point. It becomes too complicated and too messy, then it leads to a lot of necessary, like what they call infighting for power, you know. So what we did is we have this sincere Kayamitaship, those who really volunteer and trustworthy and have the parami and all those sincerity, then my nature roughly you will know. Then I will choose them to help. So far, so good. Everything fall into place. Everyone playing their role very well. So this is what my nature knew. Just let things be and everything will happen. Meant to be will be. Those who are supposed to have their causes and conditions, pardon me, to help, they will come in and help. And everyone is different. Everyone is different and they contribute differently. And so that's beautiful. Yeah. End of the day, I also like very surprised at how the books come out, how the website develop, and how the teaching and the sharing all evolve and become what it is today. Because alone, this cannot happen. This cannot happen. So all these are very beautiful example of what cultivation is. And for you all as Kayamita to witness all this happening, I tell you, this is very, very deep understanding that your consciousness has already developed the ability to be part of it. So that when you continue your cultivation in the future, all this will be very useful, very beneficial. Then as you transform further down the line over the maybe years to come or eons to come, you will become very different, very, very different. Because what you have experienced and gone through, like what I share and what I pass down, is the same when I come, I receive from those great beings who actually share with me, pass down to me. Then it's now my turn, my nature to share, and I pass it down. Then in future, when you all transform, it's also your turn, your nature to share. And all this can evolve so beautifully because we have this Bodhisattva way that took so long and so beautifully actually evolve up over the eons and eons and eons of millennium of evolution. Very good. Okay, I think we have to end.
Summarize. Even though we are small group, Ratio, I feel the sincerity in this group that they receive the true Dharma. Maybe they may not be able to express, but you can see from the few people who what can be the end result. So that will encourage more of our Kayamitas to stay close to the group and be with us to move together. Thank you, Brother Teo.
for
thank
your
you, thank you. Rejoice. Huh? Okay, let us rejoice with the good sharing by Sister AB and PG and the causes and conditions that is developed. Yeah? So do listen to this particular sharing today. It's very unique, very good. And this 84th lesson of the sixth period of Reform Sutta, also very beautiful, very unique. So with this, I think we will end. So let us rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will share merits before being starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumodito chirang rakkantu lokasasana itta watta jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo vasat kalina sasa sampati hetu cha pito bhavat loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo otu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we shall end the whole session. Thank you for your good participation. Sadhu.